Long Day's Journey into Night is arguably America's greatest play. Written in 1940 by Eugene O'Neill, it's the haunting story of a seemingly endless day and night of confessions and pain as a morphine-addicted mother relapses and her youngest son is diagnosed with tuberculosis. But it's also the story of a son coming to terms with his father. The drama is on stage again on Broadway, starring Vanessa Redgrave, Brian Dennehy, Robert Sean Leonard, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Caitlin Shetterly reports.
When Eugene O'Neill set out to write Long Day's Journey into Night, he'd already won 3 Pulitzer Prizes and 1 Nobel Prize. Brian Dennehy, who in the current revival plays the father, James Tyrone, says despite considerable acclaim, O'Neill felt he'd failed.
He announced to his friends and to the world in the mid-30s, or whenever it was in 36, that everything he had done up to now was crap. Even though he was the first serious American playwright, the first serious dramatic playwright, he realized that there was still so much more that had to be said, and most of what had to be said had to do with his own life and his own family.
O'Neill waited 20 years after the deaths of his parents and his brother Jamie, and 15 years after he stopped drinking, to write his family story of addiction, loss, love, and hate. O'Neill's father had been an actor and a star in a stage adaptation of The Count of Monte Cristo. In the play, James Tyrone gives up a career as a Shakespearean actor to play the same role.
He had made that decision to essentially sell out his talent and sell out the possibility of becoming a great Shakespearean actor, and essentially doing the equivalent of a 19th century equivalent of a TV series for a long time in return for a lot of money. And of course, he's tortured by regrets and loss and the sense of failure, even though he has had a great financial success in America, which, of course, as far as the American dream is concerned, should have been enough. But, of course, as Mr. O'Neill realized at this point in his life, it wasn't enough, and it could never be enough.
Late in the evening, near the close of their longest day, with a single light bulb burning above their heads, James Tyrone confesses to his youngest son, Edmund, his despair for the integrity he let slip away.
In 1874... when Edwin Booth came to the theater in Chicago, where I was leading man, I'd play Cassius to his Brutus one night, and Brutus to his Cassius the next, Othello to his Iago, and so on. But the first night I played Othello, Edwin Booth said to our manager, "That young man is playing Othello better than I ever did." That from Booth, the greatest actor of his day, or any other. And it was true. And I was only 27 years old. I look back on it now, that night was the high spot in my career. I had life where I wanted it. And for a time after that, I kept on upward with ambition high. I married your mother. Oh, ask her what I was like in those days. And our love was it. Added incentive to ambition. Then, a few years later, my good bad luck made me find the big moneymaker. Good, it wasn't that in my eyes at first. It was a great romantic part. I knew I could play better than anyone. That is a great box office success from the start. And life had me where it wanted me.
Next to the massive and robust bulk of Dennehy's James Tyrone, Robert Sean Leonard's Edmund sits slumped in a chair, his body collapsed as if all the air had been sucked out. He's pale, his hair curled by the foggy night. He's sick with tuberculosis and slightly drunk. O'Neill based Edmund on himself. At this moment in the play, the character begins to accept his father's failures and flaws as he makes the journey back to loving him. He and his father are the only characters who find connection. And as Robert Sean Leonard says, the only way to do that is by telling the truth to each other.
My character says at one point, who wants to see life as it is if they can help it? You know, mom's up shooting morphine, dad's drinking, I go for a walk in the fog, and I think O'Neill felt that life without transcendence is unbearable. And I think he felt that transcendence was a mysterious thing. The only way to transcend is to embrace that you're a sinner, It's the opposite of Christianity. Don't emulate Christ. Embrace that you're a sinner. Admit that they're just pipe dreams, these things in your mind. And then you find true peace. And drink up.
Brian Dennehy says that when O'Neill wrote Long Day's Journey Into Night, he was not only wrestling with fears that he might have sold out as a playwright, but he must also have considered his own failures as a father.
The interesting thing about O'Neill and his family is that as bad as his father was, as selfish as he was, as self-absorbed and self-involved as he was better than Eugene. I mean, Eugene's three children, two of them committed suicide outright, and one of them, Una, virtually drank herself to death. So he was an appalling father. So he didn't obviously learn anything from his father.
In the half-light of the kitchen where James has emptied his heart, Robert Sean Leonard's Edmund asks, "You've just told me some high spots in your memories. Want to hear mine? They're all connected with the sea."
He stands up and reads his poetry to his father and his recollections to his father. And his father says, "You've got the makings of a poet in you." And he's the only one who survives the shipwreck. I mean, he's sort of the Ishmael of O'Neill's Pequod. You know, he's the witness. Otherwise, there'd be no novel. He's the one who set it down.
Eugene O'Neill survived to finish two more plays. But Long Day's Journey Into Night remains his most acclaimed, perhaps, says Brian Dennehy, because of its timeless quality, a quality that the actor says he thought was unaffected by world events. But a few weeks after Long Day's Journey opened, he changed his mind.
I got to tell you, night after night, these people flock in here, pack in here, standing room, 4 hours, and they weep, and they listen, and they hear, and they're moved by it and affected by it. But the fact is that there is a huge, deep, vast hunger for something like this, an absolutely honest, unflinching, direct, unironic, unsneering look at real emotions, powerful, direct emotions, love and hate and dependency and rage and passion. And God bless Eugene O'Neill for having done what he did and the fact that we can still do it.
When Eugene O'Neill wrote Long Day's Journey Into Night, he dedicated it with these words to his third wife, Carlotta, on their 12th wedding anniversary. "Dearest, I give you the original script of this play of old sorrow, written in tears and blood. A sadly inappropriate gift, it would seem, for a day celebrating happiness. But you will understand. I mean it as a tribute to your love and tenderness, which gave me the faith in love that enabled me to face my dead at last and write this play. Write it with deep pity and understanding and forgiveness for all the four haunted Tyrones." Although O'Neill requested in his will that Long Day's Journey Into Night not be released until 25 years after his death, 3 years after he died, Carlotta broke his will, and the play was produced on Broadway in 1956. O'Neill was awarded the first posthumous Pulitzer Prize ever given for drama. For NPR News, I'm Caitlin Shetterly.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.